Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Let Us Talk. Today we are only with the three of us, we don't have an external guest. My name is Leon and I'm here with...
I'm Rita, I'm here again, and...
Anastasia.
And Anastasia, you will be our expert today because the topic of today is sustainable tourism and animal welfare and how these topics are related. And you are working at a...
I'm working as a sustainability expert in a company that provides certification for travel companies. And in general, I'm just very interested in sustainable tourism, but also in animal welfare in tourism as particular, and also mindful tourism, but we will leave it out for tonight.
Okay, so could you explain us a bit of what is sustainable tourism?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a big topic and I understand that it might cause some confusion. Sustainable tourism derives from the concept of sustainable development, which you have probably heard about. It's the economical and social model of the development of humanity. That I'm quoting. It's the development model that's meets the needs of the present generations without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And it englobes a lot of aspects of human activity, such as economics, society, and environment, so how we're managing the resources we have. And sustainable tourism, it's basically tourism that takes full account of its current and future economic and social environmental impacts, addressing the needs of visitors, the industry, the environment, and host communities. So that's the formal definition, but I understand it doesn't say much. So when it comes to practical things, it's a big topic. So when we looking at that from the company's perspective, for example, with companies that I'm working with, the tour operators and travel agents, so we are looking at the way they are organizing their business internally, how they're using resources in the office, energy, water, how they're dealing with waste they're producing, etc. And then how they are developing their tourism products. So which activities they include, which accommodation they're sending the tourists to, and how they're communicating with their clients, with their supply chain, whether they're raising awareness on sustainability among their partners and their customers. But from customer perspective, just as all of us, just tourists, it's all about being responsible and taking, making responsible and ethical choices. And also one more point is that there is a little bit of confusion when it comes to defining terms sustainable tourism, ecotourism, and responsible tourism. So just to make it clear, sustainable tourism, it's not a type of tourism. It's more the way that these tourism activities are organized and the way you travel. Ecotourism is specifically travel and natural areas. So when you go hiking in a national park, this is ecotourism. But it can be not sustainable if you live in trash on the way, if you, you know, cutting plants and stuff. So you are practicing ecotourism, but not sustainable tourism. And responsible tourism is specifically about your behavior and choices you make. So basically, if you are going hiking in the national park and also you're not using plastic, you're maybe picking up some trash on the way and you're staying in the local, the cabin and you're eating local food and maybe even helping local people out, then you are responsible tourism practicing eco and sustainable tourism. Bingo.
Very interesting. I have a little worry and also playing a little bit devil's advocate right now. Isn't it often the most sustainable option not to travel because of the flights?
That's a very good question. And yeah, a big, big discussion out there. No, I wouldn't say that it's the most sustainable option not to fly. Because if we take developing countries, let's say Africa, these countries do not have pretty much a lot of economical sector that where people can be employed and where they can make money. So tourism is a very big part of them. Developing the country, and this is the sector where they get money and they can sustain their families and send their children to schools. So if tomorrow everyone says that we are not going to fly, it's too far away because it's not sustainable, this is not the most sustainable choice, because you need also to take into account how it will affect those local communities. But when it comes to the it's to the case where you are traveling to the next door country, or you're traveling within Europe, there, yes, you can make a choice towards a more sustainable travel option.
It does make sense.
Still, I think it really relies on a very economic definition of sustainability, and I think it's also what makes it very challenging to accommodate the economic needs of certain groups of people and the needs of environmental sustainability, because often these two goals clash very often, do they?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's just about, as we said before, making responsible choices and just being mindful of where your money goes.
Yes.
If we talk about like that, so if you go to Asia and then you buy magnets made in China, then it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you go to Thailand or something, and but if you buy local souvenirs that were crafted by local people, this is another story. Yeah.
Okay. That said, how could you maybe relate a sustainable tourism with animal welfare?
So basically animals play a very big role in tourism, and you might have noticed that during your travels, because there are a lot of activities that involve animals out there, including elephant riding in Asia, which is like a boom in Asia recently. Also horse riding and dog sledding and bird watching. Even those people that are standing with monkeys on the streets and suggesting you to make picture. And also it's a big sector that is generating a lot of money. Just whale watching itself is generating more than $2 billion per year, and it also employs thousands of people.
Wow, that's a pretty big sector with a lot of impact.
Yeah,
I guess economically speaking. So it's also got a lot of tourists participating in these activities. And how is it actually with the animals? How's it going with the whales? So you gave the example of whale watching. Are they just kept in nature and people are visiting them? Are they kept in captivity, or are they fed so that they join the humans? How is it working?
Yeah, well, to stay on this case of whale watching, according to the study that was conducted by the World Society for the Protection of Animals, they looked into the case of whale watching in Costa Rica. And it's pretty interesting because whale watching came as an alternative, a sustainable alternative to shore activities such as fishing, which is a very big sector, and it has a big part of the country economics and a lot of people that are employed in this sector. But fishing, in most of the cases, it's not sustainable because we deal with overfishing and also the pollution of water. And so a lot of unsustainability involved. And whale watching came as an alternative because all of these people, not all of them, but even if some of them, they were involved in the fishing, they now are working for whale watching. And if run sustainably, of course, whale watching is quite an ethical activity. So in this study, scientists, they actually saw and they proved it with numbers that whale watching was a very good solution for replace fishing with something touristic but still sustainable.
Okay, so they kind of combined the two good things of still keeping dead people's jobs and saving the animals with the whale watching, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And how exactly does it work now? So you the whale is just in nature and you visit them then, or?
Yeah, yeah, also good point. Very good questions tonight. Well, yeah, As I said before, under the condition of running this activity sustainably, it will work, because when you are running such as, yeah, from the first glance, sustainable activity, you also need to have some kind of code of conduct and guidelines on how to run it ethically. So the best scenario, the perfect way to run it, is that you are standing on the shore, so you're not going to the sea, and you just watch whales while they are quite close to the shore. But this is happening only in a few locations, as Madagascar and something else. I will not mislead you in this with this information. But in other locations, you still need to get on the boat. But in this case, there should be some... there must be some guidelines to take into account. For example, there must be maybe not electrical boats, or you switch off the engine when you are approaching whales, so you're not making any noise and you are keeping the respectful distance, not to scare them off. Even though whales are quite good with humans, meaning that they are very tolerant to humans and they don't get scared. But still, if you will chase the whale with your boat, it will not make any good.
Yeah, very interesting insights about whale watching. And I think it's one of the more animal-friendly and more sustainable options that there are. But you also mentioned some other options like dog sledding or elephant riding. What about these? Is it possible to do them actually in a sustainable manner?
Well,
and what are the animal welfare problems?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of animal welfare problems out there. Mostly because these are people that are deciding for animals, what they're going to do, where they will be kept, what they will eat, and how they will lead their life. So as long as people are making these choices for animals, they will also always be a problem. Elephant riding is never an option, because it's a very cruel activity that involves a lot of suffering and health problems from the animals, elephants, and also given that they are quite fragile, even though they are gigantic, but they are gentle giants. And end of elephant riding, even though it's really popular in Asia and it's on the bucket list of many, many tourists, it's a very, very unsustainable activity. With the dog sledding, it's a bit different, because on one hand, it's if we take dogs such as husky, I would say that it's more cruel to keep a husky in a flat, in an apartment block, than to sled it. Because husky were, this is a breed that was kind of made for mushing, and they love it. And if they are kept, if they're given this opportunity, it's to let out of their energy and to kind of surf in this way, they're happy. But also, if those activities are run sustainably, so if they are provided with good health, living condition, if they are fed enough and etc., if they're given enough love, so it's always, there is always, I would say, a way to make an activity sustainable, but only when it's not coming to elephant riding.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think that there are probably many ways, for example, for huskies to keep their welfare into account. But something that bothers me is always that you have like a kind of instrumental relationship with these animals. So the animal is a tool that helps you to accomplish your goal with a dog sledding. You want to get from A to B, or you want to enjoy the huskies, or also with the whale watching, sometimes it's an awe, but also sometimes it's like on a bucket list for every tourist. Oh, I want to have seen this, I want to have seen this. And how sustainable is it to keep this instrumental relationship, to keep it up, or maybe even to feed into this? Do you see problems in that relation?
Yeah, exactly. I really like this quote, or more like motto, of the association. It's called PETA, It stands for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and they say that animals are not ours to experiment on, eat, wear, use for entertainment or abuse in any other way. So yeah, I would say that as I said before, as long as we are deciding for them and as long as we use them as an instrument, as you said, we are not mindful enough, and it will never be sustainable enough. And even in the definition of the sustainable tourism and sustainable development, as I mentioned before, I personally noticed that it's not mentioning animals. So it's all about communities, the industry, people in general, but not animals, because animals at this stage of our humanity development, it is considered as a part of the industry.
Yeah, very important, I think, to talk about sustainability and the definition about it, because I sometimes have the impression that the industry really borrowed the term of sustainability, and now we have it about how to make things in an efficient manner and how to use technical innovations, but it's not the animals don't appear at all. And I think the Dutch planetary health scientist Pim Martens, he invented the term of dierzaamheid in Dutch, which is a mix between deer, animal, and sustainability, dierzaamheid, and he calls it sustainableism in English. And he says, yeah, it's a problem that the industry kind of took this term and made sustainability fit into capitalistic interests like economic growth and stuff like that, which are usually not very sustainable, but they try to make like some nice green growth paradigm, but the animals don't play a role, but the animals should be central, because also our human relations with the animals, they have consequences, physiological and psychological. How we treat animals that determines also how we deal with each other. If you are empathetic to animals, you're also more empathetic to other humans. Or if you are very violent or habituate violence towards animals, it also affects how you deal with other humans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a very philosophical point. I do agree, yes. And the problem is that animal welfare is not really regulated when it comes to tourism. So there are some big organizations that are managing these questions, but it's not on the worldwide level. So if you are interested in learning more about animal welfare, I would recommend checking PETA, the one that I mentioned before, and also Animondial. It's the organization based in UK, and they're specifically specialized in animal welfare in tourism. But yeah, even when it comes to elephant sanctuaries, the place where you are saving elephants, it's tricky here because they are not regulated, and so you can never know how they are treating these animals, even if they are saying that they are, you know, they exist to save elephants.
Yeah, I heard actually from a colleague that there are sanctuaries in certain regions where they save animals, but then they breed them to let them be shot by big game hunters.
That's terrible. Oh yeah. And also such things is that elephant sanctuaries, most of them, they are taking the retired elephants that are too old to keep working for logging industry or for trekking, etc. And so they take these elephants and they just take care of them. Mm-hmm. But it's also a very common thing to buy elephants from those people that are exploiting them. So sanctuaries, they come to those people and they are buying elephants, and that creates a market, because people, they just get elephants from the wild in order to sell them to the sanctuaries, because they know that they will get money from it. So this is another ethical dilemma here.
Yeah, then they are more like buying it instead of helping them. It's strange.
Well, yeah, they are buying them to hell, but it's still like the fact that they are buying them in those people's minds, they are exploiting animals. Mm. It creates a new opportunity to get money, so they would even more be eager to go to the wild and to get baby elephants in order to sell them later.
Yeah, it creates very wrong incentives, and also the sanctuaries, they benefit a little bit too much maybe from the tourists, and once the animal is a source of money, you have these very strong instrumental relationships.
True, true, yeah.
So do you have any advice for travelers on activities involving animals?
Yeah, definitely. First advice is not to choose any activities involving animals if you can do so. Because in most of the cases, they're the captive animals, so there might be some suffering involved. But then, of course, it's always recommended to do your own research before you make a decision to go on any kind of activities involving animals. And also, of course, not support companies or any activity providers that are exposing animals and they're using them as an attraction. Also, humanized behavior is always a red flag. So if you see an elephant that is drawing paintings or, I don't know, some other animals that are dancing and doing something that is unnatural to them, this is also very unethical because they were trained to do so. And most probably the people they were training them used very harsh methods to do so. Coming back to the elephants again, maybe some of you don't know, but there are no domesticated breeds of elephants. So even if an elephant was born in captivity, they still have those instincts. So they still behave as a wild elephant. And people that are exploiting them, they are taking them through very harsh experiences to crush their spirit. A little bit of a scary story. But then, of course, another tip is that culture is never an excuse for any kind of activity that is involving abusing animals or killing them. So there are a lot of examples like that out there when people, minor communities or something, they're keeping such activities as an ancient tradition. And this is also some kind of a dilemma because it's considered as intangible heritage, a tradition. But still, if it's involving an animal, it's not an excuse because we're living in the century where we can say no to these activities and we will still survive without them. But yep, animals will not survive.
So basically for tourism, it's the same with your plate. Don't choose the animals, and culture is no excuse.
And also something that I wanted to give as a tip is that there is this association called Born Free. And they have a specific form where you can submit kind of a report if you have witnessed the abuse of animals. So there is a link, we can probably include it in the description so you know how to access it. And then, yeah, if you have encountered something that is involving animal suffering, animal abuse or whatever in tourism, you can just submit this report and they will investigate the case.
Perfect, thank you.
No worries.
Is it also helping in case where you can just assume the animal abuse? For example, if you see, I don't know, a monkey, or not only a monkey, in monkeys it's very obvious, but maybe with camels, it's maybe in some countries also that they are taken to take photos, but of course they're also treated in a bad way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You can submit any kind of situation that you have witnessed and that you consider as unethical. And also upload some pictures if it's possible, and this association will work on that, and probably they will help these animals.
What are the concrete solutions the associations offer? Because I think it's a very tough topic. I think, of course, animal abuse should be punished, and there's no excuse for animal abuse. Simultaneously, I think these people are definitely in need of money. It's not like they're living here in the Netherlands where we can have easy talk about these topics, but they really need to earn enough money to survive. So how can we grant that and help the animals at the same time, and what is the role of these associations in that?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. And I also don't think that it's possible for them to track all those individuals that are going along the beach with the camels that they're using as a source of profit. But I think that, this would probably work better with companies where you see that they're using animals as a circus, or those delphinariums where you see that animals are suffering and you see the mistreats of animals. That could work. And with these individual cases, of course, it's more tricky. And also there is always some kind of dilemma involved, because if you take a camel away from that man who is only living on the profit from this camel, then this man will probably, I don't know, go and do something even more unsustainable. So yeah, this remains a big question that I really hope that humanity will find answers to in the nearest future.
Yeah, it also shows that we cannot disentangle like these kind of welfare issues also from social questions that, unjust distribution of money that we globally have, that's also closely, that it's also a part of sustainability to work on these social factors and also to enable people to make sustainable choices. I know it's not the case that people with more money make more sustainable choices, because they fly a lot, so the more money you have, the larger your CO2 footprint is. Yeah. But simultaneously, if you ask people for individual contribution, it's very easy to say people should do something when you're yourself well off, and but if you're not, if you don't have this freedom, it's harder.
Yeah, it's a very, very big topic, and if we continue, you know, talking about sustainability in general, we will go over 2 hours or more.
So with all this, how can we relate sustainable tourism with veganism?
Well, I would say it's directly related, both because it says no to the animal exploitation, but also it's a more sustainable choice because animal industry produces a lot of CO2 emissions and just has a huge ecological footprint. So going for vegan dishes or just vegetarian options, it's already a step to the more sustainable tourism. But this is not regulated yet, so the companies are not required to have that, even though there are some criteria, like standards, in sustainable tourism sector that already involve requirements on having vegetarian or vegan options, or at least indicating which ones are vegetarian, which are vegan. So, yeah.
And can you use your power that you have in your job as a sustainability related tourism expert to make companies offer more vegan options and recommend that to them in order to be labeled as more sustainable?
Definitely, because I'm working in a certification company, so we are imposing, not really imposing, but we are setting standards for the industry, and we are checking if company comply with them, and we are helping them to comply with them. So we are making sure that this company become more sustainable, and then we are certifying them as a reward for their sustainability commitment. For now, in my company, we don't have the criteria on vegan options, mostly because we work with tour operators and travel agents for which it's less relevant. However, that's a very good point, and I've been also thinking about that I could raise bring up this question, and maybe we could think of something, because these standards are constantly evolving, and I think that's a very good topic to bring up to the next team meeting at my company.
Yeah, sounds like a very great idea. And also I think it also suits with the economic aspects of sustainability. I saw already some restaurants that have a sticker that they are recommended by the Happy Cow app. The Happy Cow app, for those who don't know, it's an app that indicates vegan options or vegan-friendly options close to where you are. And it's always my helper when I'm a tourist myself. I always look at the app and then I know where I can get some food. And maybe you can also do that with your company to say, hey, offer some vegan options. You will be featured at the Happy Cow app, which might also be beneficial for you.
Yeah, I'm also using the one. It's great.
Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. It was an amazing conversation. We could learn a lot about sustainable tourism and about how can we treat animals a bit more fair, and also how it is related with veganism.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a lot of input, and I think it was also a nice discussion. And a lot of topics came up, and also some contradictions that we experience when we deal with sustainability. So thank you very much for that. Is there anything you have to add?
Yeah, just thank you guys, because I learned also something from our today's discussion. I have a new thing to bring up on my company's table. And also, yeah, it was really nice chatting with you. Thank you so much for inviting me. Hopefully we will come together the next episode, right?
Yes, we will. And also thank you very much for listening to our podcast. See you next time.
Bye-bye.